Happy to be joined right now by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. And Jim, they sign Jason Campbell as I would say right now, yes, the competition that was guaranteed for Brandon Weeden, they've followed through on that. But as I look at Jason Campbell, look at his career body of work, I think he comes in more as the veteran backup kind of guy that this team had hoped to have.
I think you're right, Vic. I think a couple of times and in past regimes with the Browns, I think that they at times have looked at Jason Campbell before and entertained the thought of possibly bringing him in here and giving him a look. You know, an interesting guy. It did not work out in Washington for him.
Right.
But I did think at the time when he got hurt, which ironically was against the Browns in that game against the Raiders a couple of years ago, that I thought at that point he had reached a comfort level and he was actually playing well, and he was playing pretty well that day,
right,
until Chris Gokong and Scott Fujita ended his season. And then, of course, he lost his job with the Raiders. And certainly last year he knew going into Chicago what he was, and he was going to be the backup for Jay Cutler. I think it's a very good move by the Browns. I really do. No matter how it shakes out, whether it's to create competition, which we all think it is, with Brandon Weeden, whether it's to really go after the starting job, hey, that's fine too, or whether it's just having a real veteran backup guy who knows how to be a backup guy and in a pinch definitely knows how to start a game and succeed in a game, I think it's a very, very wise move. I was wondering what they were going to do,
where
they were going to get the guy. Was it going to be in the draft, or was it going to be this route? And now we know.
And I think all possibilities are there because you go into it not knowing how it will shake out during off-season workouts, during training camp. Look at Seattle last year. They bring in Matt Flynn.
Right.
Yeah, they drafted Russell Wilson, but no way were they thinking Russell Wilson would be their starter.
Right.
And we saw how that turned out. So I think the Browns, even if the intention is to have Brandon Weeden ultimately start, I think Jason Campbell would have a real opportunity to change an opinion or two or three among this coaching staff. I don't know that he will. I do like the move, too, because of the physical skill set. It's not about mobility or really a big change up from what Brandon Weeden is, but I think what it is another big-armed guy to run the Norv Turner vertical passing game.
Yeah, and a big guy. I mean, he's big guy. I remember watching him at Auburn when he played there, and he was the 25th overall pick, I think, that year when he came out and went to the Redskins, and I thought he was a big guy. I think he's probably a big guy that has learned the lesson that a lot of these guys that are big guys and physical guys and athletic guys that play quarterback when they come into the NFL, you take off and run, and you're probably going to get nicked and hurt, and that has happened to him throughout his career. But it's an interesting thing. As you well know, last year, when we were on the show, and as specifically after that opening game against Philadelphia, I was a little bit uncomfortable with the lack of preparation that Weeden had. But to take that a step further, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more competition with and for Weeden during training camp. But I understand where Pat Shurmur was coming from. Hey, he was a first-round pick. He was the 22nd pick in the first round. We're going to give him the job and let him go with it. But, you know, I am more comfortable seeing people compete, and especially a guy that is so young to the NFL coming in and just having a job handed to him. I think he should fight for his supper, and I think he's going to have to do that.
Yeah, I think that's an important part of his developing into a consistent and steady franchise guy that they want him to be. Part of that has to be dealing with and overcoming and winning a competition. I mean, experiencing it, which he didn't last year, so dealing with it, and then how tough is he mentally? I mean, can he step up to this challenge? I think he is. I mean, I think he sees this signing as, okay, you know, send him after me. Come at me, because I'll handle it. That should be the way he approaches it. I think the other thing, too, is how this coaching staff works with him to hone many of those details in his game that need the work, and I think the expectation is he'll be a better quarterback than he was. Will he be good enough to fend off the challenges of someone who now has 71 starts? I mean, Jason Campbell comes in with a larger body of work, so he's tasted the starting position, and he's looking at Brandon Weeden saying, I think I could beat this guy out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be thinking that.
Sure, absolutely. Here's the other thing to look at, too, and it's on Whedon's side, is that he'll have a guy with him, you know, alongside of him, that has gone the route of a starter and what it's like to compete for a job in Jason Campbell. I don't really think he had that last year. McCoy was just coming into his second year.
Right.
He had an incomplete, really, in his rookie year because of what happened late that season, and he got the concussion against Pittsburgh. And Seneca Wallace did not embrace helping guys out. I mean, you know, Seneca would tell you himself. He was not into that.
Oh,
you know,
it wasn't his thing.
He was into Seneca, and I give him a lot of credit for coming out and saying that. But I think that Brandon didn't have a veteran to lean on. Whereas 2 years ago, Jake Delhomme really helped McCoy out when he had to go in and play that year because Delhomme and Wallace had those high ankle sprains. This should help Wheaton out too.
Yeah, I mean, the relationship of McCoy and Delhomme was classic with a mentor working with a younger player. I mean, they ride to work together every day. They talk football in the car. They talk football going home. So, yeah, I think all of those parts were very, very important. And now to bring up Colt McCoy, where does this leave him? I would think an ex-Brown at some point very soon because I think Jason Campbell now addresses what McCoy had been, which was the guy with more experience as a backup. But although chronologically younger than Brandon Wheaton, he was – what was his fit here? And it was thought to be that change-up guy, the guy who had, again, a little more experience as a starter. But now I think with Campbell aboard, there really isn't a need for McCoy.
Yeah, I think so, Vic. And I think Colt realizes that. And I think for the betterment and the prolongment of his career, I think it's a good thing for him. And I'm sure he's hoping that he does get to go somewhere else. And soon, too.
Yeah.
Timing is very important in this thing. And so, you know, whereas we went in last year with the McCoy story kind of hanging around, and once Wheaton was named the starter, which was like in the first week of training camp, you know, McCoy was kind of saying, well, I mean, what is my future? What's going to happen here? And then you're to the point, Vic, when we're out here on the practice fields in Berea in the summer and you're counting snaps.
Yeah.
Everybody's counting snaps. Who's with the first team? How long was Wheaton with the first team? How many snaps did McCoy get? The Browns have a lot of work to do at quarterback. They have a new offense. They have a new offensive coordinator and a brilliant one at that. They've got a new head coach who is a quarterback maker too. So they got to get their guy ready. And at that point, you have to kind of eradicate distractions on both fronts, one for McCoy and certainly for the franchise.
Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So let's take a look big picture at the signings that this team has done. And, you know, we saw the splash signings with Paul Kruger and Desmond Bryant, and to another extent, Quentin Groves. But now it looks like everything that they've done since has been really targeted, really specific to position and to role-playing. And you look at the corner position, and I'm not sure if they've found the guy that they absolutely need to start opposite Joe Haden. I mean, the argument could be made that that guy is not Chris Owens and not Barnes, but that guy is a guy they pick in the draft,
yes,
potentially. But they've got to find that guy. They've got to do something about the other corner position.
I'm glad to hear you say that because as much as we all focus in on what are they going to do to create something at quarterback to compete or make a change there, I look at that cornerback position, and I'm with you 1,000% on this. When Joe Haden didn't play last year, which numbered five games,
yep,
they did not win.
Right.
Okay? When Joe Haden did not play down in Dallas that day, I mean, let me put it to you this way. Even when Joe Haden played, okay, we knew where teams were going to go. They were going to go on the opposite side. They were going to throw on the other side. Haden would get no business on those days. So they went after the old pro, Sheldon Brown. Okay, but that's not going to be there. So they really do need something on the other side. So what we have seen, you're right, through the weeks of free agency is really the path to the draft, I think, in a couple of weeks in April. It tells you now where probably they're going to go. It's not this really intricate science. It's the need factor. And, okay, we've done this. We've taken care of this. We found a pass rusher.
Yep.
Okay, we found another big defensive lineman, and maybe we can do something with our other defensive lineman in the way of packaging something. But we need a corner. And they're right. They need a corner.
They do. And then, you know, you had a couple of tight ends who are guys who I think help in the blocking element of the position as much as pass catching, and I think they'll be okay in that regard, but you don't have any real huge difference making pass catchers. They could still maybe do something like that possibly in the draft. And then you look at the addition of the quarterback, you look at overall what they've done in a big picture sense, and I think it's been wise, it's been methodical, and I think helpful. I mean, this team is going to change in a major way. It's gonna get its biggest makeover change on the defensive side. But I think slowly but surely you're going to see other changes. And Jimmy, this was a team that we saw change dramatically from 2011 to 2012.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's fascinating to see what they're doing. You're right, it was methodical, with a good blitz at the start, because if you're going to get into free agency and you have a real need, you got to get in right away. You can't sit and think about it. Right. You think about it for the weeks leading up to free agency, and then you target guys, and that's what Kruger and Desmond Bryant obviously were. They targeted those guys. They went and got them. Then they got Groves, and you're right. Now they've added a layer to each one of those positions to give themselves some depth, because if you're going to need linebackers, I mean, by the sheer numbers of the scheme, you're going to need, four of them and people behind the front four. So I think it's been a good job. I'm very pleased with what they did. I really think this move last night with Campbell was a very, very well thought out, very smart move, and I have to think that head coach and his offensive coordinator and former head coach Norv Turner had a lot to say in what was going to go
sure.
there.
Yeah, because they got the type of guy
right.
that they wanted, just the right amount of experience, but the physical makeup. I think when you look at how Jason Campbell was put together, you talk about that size, you talk about that ability to throw the long pass, and you talk about a guy who's probably learned about, okay, if I'm going to move around, let's be a little safer
right.
about this, or let's minimize this. I think he's going to work from the pocket just like they want Brandon Weeden to do, and that'll be the look and feel of this offense. For the most part.
Yeah, I think so. And, we go back to the tight end thing, and you're right. The guys that they have added now are more of the physical tight ends who are going to help you on the edge and block and set things up for you in the passing game and hopefully the running game too. But it really opens up the door for Jordan Cameron that because I think Norv and Rob Chudzinski like to throw to the tight ends. I mean, they really do. I mean, Antonio Gates, Kellen Winslow Jr. under
right.
Chudzinski here in Cleveland. And they did it down in Carolina, too, that Jordan Cameron's got a great opportunity. And I know people have talked about his great upside, as an athlete, being one of these, former basketball players, now becoming a football player. He's got an opportunity that he can really cash in on if they stay pat at tight end, though, if they don't do anything else.
Right. Starting Monday, the offseason program begins. And it's in multiple phases, but that first phase is a couple of weeks where the players don't go out on the field.
Right.
It's classroom stuff. It's conditioning stuff. This is mainly going to be Brad Rohl's department. We heard from him earlier in the show, the strength and conditioning coach of the Browns. This is really going to be his show, getting these guys to understand what they need to do to be in top shape, to be as strong as they could be, so on and so forth. But I think the other part of this is the learning process of this defense and the education of the players, including the incumbents, including the newcomers and the incumbents. I mean, people who've been specifically brought in to be part of this defense and those who were part of this 4-3. And I look at a guy like Quentin Groves. He was on the show last night,
mm-hmm.
really embracing the role of being the player teacher because of what he knows about this defense, having played in it last year for Ray Horton in Arizona.
Yeah, I think that's good. You got to have those guys. I thought Fujita and Gokong did that a lot, in their time when they joined the organization here. So you got to have those players that can do that and help, what is still a very young group of linebackers that are presently on this roster and need to now learn a whole new scheme. You need those kind of guys that are going to help them out because they're going to help them out in a huddle on the field just prior to a snap. Just a note for you as we get set for the off-season training program. Last night, as you know, Vic, I'm a man about town.
Yes.
And last night out, I was in a downtown grocery store, and there was Phil Taylor at the salad bar. Salad bar, which tells me that Phil's got his head on straight.
He knows what the calendar is saying.
He did.
April 1 is around the corner, and Brad Rohl's checking me out.
And they're going to weigh me. So
and there's a scale with my name on it. Jimmy, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vic.
He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.